we debated whether to wholesale it or try to find a partner. And luckily, we found some partners that we partnered with and believed in vision that we had for it. You know, saw that there was a lot of upside.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. This is Javier Hinojo, your host of the Naked Truth about Real Estate Investing. And today I have my good friend, Gabe. He is from Dallas, Fort Worth area, and he used to be in the Marines. Then he worked in telecom, and then he's now a full-time real estate investor. His wife's a real estate agent. And they started by doing single family, some flips, some wholesales. And then just the last 2 years, they went ahead and transitioned over to the multifamily. You know, they're buying projects around Dallas. I met him in a couple of events, really great guy. Get a chance to meet him, follow him on social media, go check him out if you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And he's going to talk a little bit about a project that he made about $1 million, took him about a year and a half. So it's pretty cool. So check out Gabe. Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah. So Gabe Grzynski here. You know, my background is in, I spent a little over 20 years in the telecom industry working on large scale, commercial telecom projects. You know, I guess the largest single project was probably, $15 million or so, and also worked on, bidding. I guess the last biggest one that I did was a, multi-year, multi-billion dollar contract. So that's sort of my background as in, program and construction management. My wife and I started getting into real estate about 5 years ago. She got her real estate license after leaving the corporate world. So I we did a few single family deals, and about 2 years ago sort of transitioned. Originally we were looking at doing sort of Airbnb short-term rentals, but then COVID hit. So we thought, maybe we need to pivot. And so we ended up in multifamily. So been doing that and working on that the past 2 years.
All right. So talk to us about when you were a Marine. So what year to what year was that?
That was back in 99. I was in the reserves. I actually was planning to do active duty, but then the day before I was originally going in, I got in a bad car wreck. Okay. And messed up my back. So that put me out, at least I think it was 6 months. And originally I was going to be, go 0311 because I wanted to do embassy duty. But, luckily the car wreck happened because I don't know that I would have been able to a lot more options with MOS that I chose. So did a different MOS and reserves. So,
Well, that transitioned well to the civilian world.
Yeah. I worked on electronics and guidance systems.
Cool.
So, the electronics background definitely helped.
Awesome. So then you worked for telecom for a while, and then what got you into what gave you the real estate bug?
After I think it was actually one of the first houses that my wife listed was a buddy of mine that I worked with. He took another job in Florida, relocated there, went to list his house, and it was probably a mid-60s build, good area, but need a lot of updating. And some of the updates that were done by him, and it could have been done better. So anyway, when we were looking at it, we thought, well, this would be great for a flipper. And then we started doing a little more digging and, saw that there's a huge market for flippers and wholesalers. And that's sort of what got us into it.
You started going down the rabbit hole,
Yeah. Yeah. And we had a lot of deals there right off the bat. And one of them was a large piece of property in Fort Worth, Texas, is over 30 acres right on the Trinity River. There were some build challenges, but anyway, we ended up wholesaling that and made a good amount on that. So yeah, that sort of hooked us.
So you are in Dallas. I forgot to mention that you're in DFW area. And so when you got started, flipping, wholesaling in that area. Are you from that area?
Yeah. Yeah. Originally from this area. So,
okay, perfect.
After the Marine Corps with my job, I was traveling. I don't know when I came back, moved back here to DFW about 7 or 8 years ago now. So about 15 years or so, I was, all over the country, mostly in the southeastern US, company I worked for did a lot of disaster recovery work. So I was in New Orleans a couple days after Katrina. I was there for a month or so. Had a guy working for me there that was there, stuck there for a year. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right. So tell me, so are you still doing any, I know you transitioned over to multifamily, but are you still doing any single family?
No. And we, maybe if something comes in from our website that we may work it, but for the most part, we just focus solely on multifamily now.
Right. So tell me the transition, right? You did some single family, you flipped, you wholesaled. And then how did you get into the multifamily side? What triggered that?
It was just the, you know, hearing people before, you know, you always look at these buildings and, you know, you see how much they cost and you think, how in the heck can I do that? You know, and then, but after hearing about syndications and stuff, we figured, heck, we can do this. One of the issues I had with single family was sometimes you feel a little bad. I mean, you know, a lot of people in sort of dire straits and bad financial situations, we would always try to steer people to listing, or, you know, that was obviously the best option for the most money back in their pocket. But so that was one of the things. And then just feeling like it was going to be more business-like transaction, you know, just the ability to have, you know, cash flow. Obviously you can get cash flow with single family, but, you know, to get large amounts, you have to scale quite a bit. And, you know, having 100 houses scattered all over the place didn't sound too appealing. So,
yeah, I know. I kind of feel you, because when I started working the numbers, it was just like, man, I can definitely scale so much quicker with commercial multifamily, even though I know people that own a few hundred houses, 1,000 houses, and they do well. There's nothing wrong with that. But just for me, it was just the numbers was just, you can scale quicker, you know, if you went to commercial.
Yeah, that and the fact that that you have more control over the value, right? I mean, it's not just like the house that we're in. It's, you know, appreciated a bit, you know, the past few years, but it's not because of anything that we've done. It's just because it's appreciated, you know.
I know. Yeah. Same thing with commercial, right? I mean, you know, you want to multifamily, you want to underwrite it. And then the last couple of years, the last 4 or 5 years, people have been crushing it because the market has been appreciating, which is great. And, but you got to make sure you still underwrite it, you know, in for normal conditions, because we don't know when it's going to slow down.
Oh yeah. One that, we actually closed on one November 2020. So it's going on, 14 months, set to close. Well, now I think it's going to extend to mid April, but we purchased it, you know, obviously couldn't have ever accounted for a cap rate compression, but there's been, that had something to do with it, but occupancy was low, rents were a little low. And then we converted the office to an efficiency. But on that one, you know, the value has gone up somewhere between 70 and 80% in the course of 14 months. So
that's crazy. That's in Dallas area?
Yeah, just south.
All right. So let's talk about that, because that was my next question. Hey, let's talk about a deal you're exiting or a deal you're buying. So let's talk about this one. How'd you find it? And, you know, kind of give me the numbers from the beginning, and then we'll talk about it on the exit.
Yeah. So this was a direct to seller. I'm not sure if it was a postcard or maybe even an RVM campaign back then, when I probably felt a little more comfortable doing that. I'm not sure current regulations really allow that, or, you know, I'm sure that it does. But anyway, the owner called back, and at the time wasn't an expert underwriter by any means. The numbers, you know, according to my calculations, looked like they were. And so we got it under contract. Originally, we, you know, sort of debated, you know, just wholesaling it. We had actually had to wholesale a property a few months prior to that, a 28 unit. It was a former timeshare on a lake northwest of Fort Worth. We debated whether to wholesale it or try to find a partner. And luckily we found some partners that we partnered with and believed in the vision that we had for it, you know, saw that there was a lot of upside. We syndicated that, very small syndication, but.
How many doors was it? What'd you buy it for?
36 doors. Now it's 37. Purchase price of $1.475 million.
Okay. That's like 50K a door. That's pretty good for Dallas area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now all it's right. Under then, contract.
So how much money, what's your all in?
1.6. We put a new roof on it, which, you know, was partially paid for by insurance. And then we've turned somewhere between 8 and 10 units total, or, you know, full turn, full reno.
Cool. And then your, what's the selling price?
2.75.
All right. That's good. You got, I'm going to have about a mil in profit. That's pretty good. I mean, it's not bad for a year and a half.
And a small deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Small project. Not bad at all. Hey, there's something wrong with doing 20 units, 30 units, 40 units. I know a lot of people that do these and they do very well, right? Yeah, you can do the 400 units and all that for sure. So tell me, what did you learn from this one? Like, what surprised you? What didn't go as planned, and then what did go as planned?
Well, I know the lease up process. I thought we were gonna get occupancy up a little bit quicker than we did, but it is a small town. So, but you know, since we've got it up, it hasn't ever dipped below probably 97%. We have a vacancy or two at most at any given time, and they're leased up as soon as they're turned. So that was a little bit surprising. And other than that, I mean, the transaction, you know, went pretty well. We had great partners, you know, that helped along the way. So certainly wouldn't have been able to do that without them. So
how about a 70 to 80% appreciation? Or did you guys force the appreciation, or that has, and the market appreciating?
Yeah, so we were able to increase rents $150 a door on most of the units, even higher on the ones that we renovated. And then it was at 69% occupancy when we took over. That helped obviously quite a bit. And then we converted the office to an efficiency to add a little more income there.
Cool. All right, so what would you say would be in your real estate career, right? What's been the biggest mistake that you've made?
Man, biggest mistake is not getting started sooner.
There you go. I hear that all the time, man. I hear that all the time.
Outside of that, I would say...
That's a 25-year-old kid. See, I wish I would have started sooner. I'm like, man.
Yeah, get out of here.
Man. Get out of here, man.
Other than that, you know, probably, you know, trusting someone just by word and not really doing, you know, any due diligence on them. You know, that would probably be, you know, the biggest mistake, I would say. Yeah.
Well, it does happen. You know, sometimes it happens. So you trust somebody just by word, but not doing due diligence, and it does suck.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely sucks because it puts you in a bad spot. So,
but you know, it's something you learn from. It's you know, something you'd rather learn in the classroom than on the streets, because it ends up costing you know, a lot of money, time, or both.
So. Yeah. So I don't coach, right? But, you know, I definitely believe in coaching, right? You find the right coach, the right network, the right group, and you definitely learn a lot. If not, you're going to learn on your own, and you're going to pay the street a lot more than that coach is going to cost.
Oh, so, most definitely.
So I would ask around. So are you full-time now, real estate full-time?
Yeah. As of, was it January 11th or so when I was laid off?
Well, laid off.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a good thing, man. Maybe you got a good package, severance package.
No, I didn't.
Even if you didn't, at least now kick your butt, go do some more deals.
Yeah. Cause I had the golden handcuffs, I guess you could say. It was a pretty high six figure job that, you know, it was, you know, relatively cushy. I didn't have to, you know, didn't work, and I worked, but didn't have to put in a whole lot of hours, and it gave me some latitude and free time. But you know, with now that I'm full time, I can, you know, it's hard trying to, you know, go from, you know, change your focus back and forth throughout the day. So just being able to go straight towards the light is good.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, just jump on it, man. You're gonna have a lot. You got more free time. Start jumping on it. You're gonna find some more projects. So
yeah.
Gabe, so how can somebody get a hold of you?
So, you know, obviously you can go to our website, grusinskicapital.com.
Spell that for me.
GRUSZYNSKI capital.com. And then, you know, on Facebook, I'm more active there, or LinkedIn are probably the two other
awesome
places that are good to reach me.
We'll put that link on the show notes below if anybody wants to reach out to Gabe. He's out there in Dallas, Fort Worth. What are you looking for right now, Dave? What do you need? So you got somebody in the audience that has something. What are you looking for out in Dallas?
Well, and really right now, we have pretty good deal flow, but you know, really would love to connect with folks that can raise capital. Okay. I know you're probably blessed with capital, and I'm sure there are others as well. You know, we can usually find some decent deals, and we have a few potentially in the pipeline. So.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest things, right? Raising money and finding deals, right? It's got to go. And sometimes you have a lot of money, no deals. Sometimes you have a whole bunch of deals, no money. So you got to have them at the same time. So yeah, for sure. All right, Gabe. So here we go. We're going to the favorite part of my show. And we're going to go to the naked truth roulette. Three random questions I'm going to ask you, nothing to do with real estate. And hopefully you'll watch your wife watches this, because there's one in here I want you to get.
So, yeah, I saw that one. I'm hoping I don't get it.
All right. Well, I put it in there four times. Show me. Oh, that's show me the money. I'm playing with my new toy here at the office. Show me the money. Got some other stuff over here. That's the roulette button. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Come on, big money. You need Vanna or something.
All right. Let me go. Look at that. First question. Stop. Let's see. Yes. So if you could take any celebrity on a date, who would it be? Only give me one, because I have four of these questions in my roulette. You might get it a second and you might get it a third time. So you're going to give me first, second, and third choice. So what's your first choice?
Okay. I'm going to play it safe here and go with Betty White.
Oh, come on. Wow. Okay. All right. Betty White.
You're married to a Latina. You know how it is.
All right, man. That's yes. So am I. So I know how that goes. All right. You ready? Let's go. Question number two. Question number two for Gabe on the Naked Truth Roulette. Oh, yes. No, it's not going to stop there. Dang it. All right. What is your favorite band / song / artist?
Favorite band, song, or artist? Maybe Pitbull, or I don't know. You know, I've listened to a lot of reggaeton here lately. So,
all right. Can you dance it? That's the next question.
I can dance. I can't dance it.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's not pretty.
Okay, not pretty. Well, I'm not going to make you dance that, because then someday somebody else is going to make me dance that. So, all right. Awesome. Third question. All right. Let's see. What is your favorite quote?
You know, the one that comes to mind is, I'll be your Huckleberry. I love,
Tombstone.
Tombstone. Yeah. That's man. one of my all time favorites.
That was Val Kilmer who said that.
Yep.
I'll be a Huckleberry. I remember that. Yeah. Awesome. Whatever the hell that means, right? What does that even mean?
Yeah. I don't know, but it was good.
It was good. It's one of those lines in the movie that'll just be there for a long, long, long time. So yep. Matt, Gabe, appreciate you answering the questions. Betty White was definitely not the highlight of the questions, but
hey,
still answer the question. That's all that matters.
Right? I'm playing to live another day.
There you go. You definitely get applause for that. So I appreciate you being on the show, man. I really do. I know I see you around at some events. You've been to my mastermind and my off-market event, and I do appreciate that. And I see you on social media. So for you guys out there that are listening, that are going from single family to multifamily, go check Gabe out. You know, he's got some good stuff on his social media. Just see what he's doing. I would say, hey, hang around with people that are doing what you want to do, and it'll rub off on you. So especially if you're in Dallas, you know, link up with him. You guys, any capital raisers out there want to come in as a general partner, some projects that he has, go ahead and not just capital raising. You got to be do some other kind of stuff just to cross all the T's and dot all the I's.
Yep.
But reach out to Gabe and see if there's some synergy there for work together. So Gabe, thanks again for being on the show. I'm Javier, your host. Don't lose your shirt.
Thanks, Javier.
Just as promised, I like to give out free stuff, some tools and tips that's actually helped me in my business. There's nothing out there like getting some free stuff that people have spent a lot of time, energy in putting together. It's like a referral. Somebody asked me for an electrician. You don't know what kind of brain damage I had to go through to give you this good referral for an electrician. You got to appreciate referrals from people, okay? Because they went through a lot to find that one good person. So I'm going to give you my due diligence template for buying apartment buildings. It's attached to monday.com. It is an affiliate link, so they're going to send me a kickback. Not a lot, but a little bit. But you can either download it as an Excel, or you can put it on monday.com. Monday.com is pretty cool because it's a project management platform software. It's super cool. I use it all the time for my social media, for my team, tracking deals, doing tasks for everybody. It's actually pretty good. You can track construction. It's a project management platform. It's really cool. Monday, like the day, monday.com. So my due diligence checklist is there for free for you.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.